Welcome to Secular Yakking.
It's like blogging out loud, a show where we cover current events, politics, and anything secular to yak about.
Want to join the conversation? Lines are open. 704-802-YAK. That's 704-802-YAKK. Welcome back, Yakkers. Just to let you know, we are recorded again this week, so no phone calls. We're on vacation, but we will be live next week. This week, we are talking about the shooting in Charleston and the culture around it. In case you missed it, on Wednesday night, a lone gunman entered into the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, and after sitting with the congregants for almost an hour, he opened fire on them with a handgun at close range. He killed 9 people that night. He was quoted as saying, "I have to do it. You rape our women, and you're taking over our country, and you have to go."
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty much as crazy as you can get in this situation. However, he did intentionally leave one woman alive, saying that she was going to live so she can tell the story of what happened.
Wow, I didn't know that part. That's incredible.
Yeah. The alleged shooter, Dylan Roth, was known for being a white supremacist and had flags from apartheid countries on his jacket in his Facebook photos.
So he had full intentions on doing this.
Right. And since I did some research, some other stuff came out today that I didn't get a chance to put in for the show, but I did see some pictures of him. One, he's burning an American flag. He's standing with his car has Confederate flag on it. He's standing with his 45 that he may have used in this situation, pointing a gun at a camera.
Uh-huh.
And they are alleging that he may have put his own manifesto on a website, which it was complete. I haven't had a chance to read it, but from what I understand, it was very, very racist.
It almost sounds like he wishes he was living during Civil War times instead.
Well, if I remember reading correctly, he did say in, or people who knew him said that this is what he wanted, that he wanted to start a civil war, and that's why he did it the way he did it. He wanted to start a big, huge race riot in Charleston, I think.
That's just crazy. And, I mean, you think it's 2015. It's not only the Civil War time, it's not even segregation time, it's 2015.
Right. You'd think this would be a thing of the past. That walking into any place with African Americans in it and just shooting them because they're a different color, we'd be past this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, you would really think so. But once again, if you think about it, I mean, look how authorities handle arresting, say, a white guy versus a black guy. I mean, it's crazy different.
Racism is still a huge problem in this country, and I don't understand why.
No.
I really don't.
No, I mean, I truly cannot go there. I just don't get it.
Yeah, and there's little doubt about the motivation for this attack. There really never was. From the moment I saw what was going on, I read the news, I was like, this is obviously a racist attack. There's no other explanation for this.
Yes.
I mean, just the way that he did it was obviously racist. And those words that he spoke, absolutely.
I was going to say, you can't really deny it. But I've also heard that, like, Fox News, for example, is taking it as it's a hit on their religion.
Right. Well, I think we'll cover that a bit later.
Okay, because I got a lot to say about that.
Right. And then there's the other claim that, well, maybe he's a troubled young man. Maybe he's mentally unstable.
Why is that always the case?
No. Why is it always the case for a white kid?
Right. Exactly.
So.
Because he was 21.
He was 21. Right. So he's not a kid. He's an adult.
Right? Yeah. He's
able to make cognitive choices.
Right.
Right. That shouldn't involve killing people.
Right.
Right. But, you know, he's not sick. He's not mentally ill. He's in his full capacity.
Yes.
Right.
And he's totally eager, I guess, is the word I
can
think of.
He was very eager. I have a feeling this was not, he just chose a random church, right?
Right.
He chose this church for a reason.
Right.
This is his historically a huge monument in the civil rights community. They've been bombed. They've been fired. It's been around since, I think, the 1860s.
Wow.
It's been huge in the civil rights movement.
I bet.
So, and a lot of things happened there. right? I mean, and I think that's why he picked this particular church.
Right. He didn't just wake up and, you know, walking down the street and then all of a sudden change his mind and say, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to go do this. He woke up doing this.
Right.
He had full intentions on this. Yep. I mean, that's how I see it.
I mean, I cannot wrap my head around why someone would want to do this. I can't figure it out.
Well, he kind of made his statement there. I mean, I can't, I guess, like you said, wrap your head around even that mindset, I guess. I can't think like that is my problem. Oh, well, okay, actually, that's not a problem.
Right. And this is the type of behavior that I think really has no place in modern society, right?
None whatsoever.
But I think there's a larger issue that goes with this, and that's the culture that he lived in.
Yeah.
So he lives in the South.
Right.
All right. He in South Carolina. I grew up in the South, right?
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with this type of mentality all around me.
Right.
So, I mean, and this behavior, well, not necessarily this particular behavior, but this type of mentality, this racism, was not only accepted, it was expected.
Right, exactly. So it was the norm.
It was absolutely the norm. And if you were white and you didn't portray some sort of racism in the South, they were like, what is wrong with you?
Now, see, for me, I was the complete opposite. I was a city girl. I mean, I hung out with all kinds of people. I never even thought twice about it.
Right.
So we totally lived in two different cultures.
Well, we lived in two different cultures, but I didn't. Luckily, my parents didn't bring us up that way.
Well, I'd have to say, though, you come from the Bible Belt South big time. You know, you lived up in the mountains kind of thing. But you didn't go that way, which is why I think we're together, because I don't think it would have happened if you were.
Right.
Actually, I know it wouldn't have.
I mean, my parents taught me to respect everyone regardless of color, right?
Right.
And I can thank them heavily for that because they made me who I am, right? But out in the world, that was not always the case. You know, there were jokes that revolved around racial slurs.
There still is.
I mean, of course there is. I mean, I remember a kid's game that we used to play, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe.
Uh-huh.
Right, and there's that part that says catch a tiger by the toe. That's what most people learned.
Yes.
It's not the way I learned it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the N-word substituted tiger.
No way,
yeah.
Really?
That's how I learned it.
Wow.
That's how it was done.
I could say a lot of things right now, but that's not nice.
Right,
but
and it was
crazy.
Later on that I learned, why are you people saying tiger?
Oh, my goodness.
Right. It was an acceptable thing in the mountains of North Carolina to speak that way.
I had no idea.
But we were always told, don't say this around the black kids.
Oh, well, that's nice and hypocritical.
Right, exactly. I'm like, but if I can't say it around black kids, how can I say it around you?
Exactly.
Right, and it never made sense to me when I was younger. And luckily, that culture didn't seed itself in me very well.
Oh, yeah, we definitely wouldn't have been together if you were the typical mountain man.
Right. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, and like I said, I knew this was wrong as a kid, and the best thing I could do was just not participate in it.
Right.
At the time, that's all I knew how to do.
Right.
But, and I'm not talking in the 50s, right? I'm talking the 70s and 80s when I grew up.
Right, exactly.
So you would think it would have been moved on, but no, there were still people, and there still are today, people saying the South shall rise again. I had relatives who still say that.
Yes, I know.
They still hang their Confederate flags. It's ridiculous to me.
They were very, you know, well, that's just the other thing, too. I mean, you know, we're talking the Western Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina,
right,
where they're even decades behind, it seems,
right,
sometimes.
I mean, the Beverly Hillbillies were based on the people that I knew.
Yeah, put it this way, your whole family was on the mountains. That's how Southern we're talking.
Luckily, like I said, my parents got out of that. They weren't like that.
No.
They moved away from
that.
Well, they didn't move away from that culture, but
they didn't participate in that.
So I'm still glad for that.
Yes.
But some other parts of my family, absolutely.
Wholeheartedly.
They make King of the Hill look like geniuses, right? So I'm just
very nice.
It's partially true.
No, I'm not arguing that at all.
But I mean, that culture down there, they still have the Confederate flag flying over the South Carolina Capitol.
Yes.
It didn't go half staff when all the other flags did.
Yes, I find that very kind of disgusting.
So the Confederate flag and the one that they fly is not even the flag from the actual Confederacy. right? It's a battle flag from a particular company. So
did they do that on purpose, or did they just not do the research?
Nobody's done the research on it,
right? That's more of what I would have thought.
Well, some people have, right? And that's what we came up with. The Confederate flag itself was kind of similar to ours. It still had, the Confederate stars and bars, right?
Uh-huh.
But it had other stuff. I don't remember exactly what it had.
Uh-huh.
But it certainly had that stuff on it.
Now, the one that they have hung up, were they the ones who hung them up didn't do the research, or that's what they chose to hang up?
Okay, so that is what is considered the traditional Confederate flag now. That's what everybody considers. It's what everybody flies. Uh-huh. The one that was on the General Lee.
I was just thinking that's that.
That's the one everybody takes and says, this is the Confederate flag. It's not really the Confederate flag. It's from a particular battalion, a particular army within the Confederacy.
Right, okay.
Right. It's a battle flag.
Right.
And it says so much because it is a battle flag.
Right.
I mean, it has become a symbol of Southern racism.
South. Yeah. Right? Well, yeah, Southern racism.
Because you don't see a lot of black folks flying this flag.
No, not at all. I don't think I've ever seen any, but I mean, I've only seen it like on big raised trucks or, you know, something like that.
I mean, It was very commonplace to see when growing up in the South. Everybody had it. It was on every license plate. And and if I remember correctly, there's a state, I don't remember which one, that has it as a commemorative plate. You can get the Confederate flag as part of your commemorative. I think
Alabama?
I want to say Texas or something.
Oh, I wanted to say Alabama.
Maybe Alabama. Somebody out there probably knows more than I do on that. But, like, I mean, you think racism was gone, but it's not.
Which I find just mind-boggling.
Right. And our condolences go out to the victims and the families of this act of terrorism. And that's what it really is. He was looking to incite fear.
Yes.
In the community.
Yep.
So, I mean, when we talk acts of terrorism, people always think, well, it's the Muslims doing the terrorist activities. It's really not just the Muslims. And it's seriously... It can be anybody doing an act of terrorism.
Right. It doesn't take someone outside the country to do this.
In fact, I did some reading the other day that was talking about the amount of domestic terrorism in this country.
Yes, yes.
There have been more people killed by domestic terrorists than those from outside terrorism in this country, with the exception of 9/11. You take 9/11 out, right?
Right. Yeah, you can't.
It's a single act.
Right.
But if you look at every other act of terrorism, and I honestly have to say that most of these mass shootings, I consider act of terrorism. Because you're looking to scare people. And a lot of times you're looking to make a message.
Yes, that's usually what it is. It's a message.
If we look at, like, Oklahoma City bombing, Timothy McVeigh and, I forgot his name. But that was an act of terrorism. It killed hundreds.
Yes.
I mean, it took down half a building.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the same things. And they seem to be perpetrated by the same type of people.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem to be perpetrated by this, these
I'm at a lot.
White, almost right-wing nut jobs.
Yeah, they're like in their own little world, it seems, all the time.
Right. There's conspiracy theorists.
Yes.
They're known for that. Or some of them have been conspiracy theorists. I should reiterate that properly.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, homegrown terrorism, I think, is actually worse than outside terrorism.
I could say that.
Right. I mean, if we lived in the Middle East, then we would have a different kind of domestic terrorist.
Right.
We would have the Islamic domestic terrorist. But here we have the white Christian domestic terrorist.
And pretty much they always are,
I think,
aren't they?
Most of them are.
It seems to be that way.
Right.
It really does.
There are a couple that aren't, but the majority seem to be that way.
Yes.
So with that in mind, a group of South Carolina humanists, I know that sounds really weird, but it's a group of South Carolina humanist groups, got it, have come together to raise money for the families and victims for this act of terrorism. The fundraiser page says, humanists condemn the unspeakable shooting deaths of 9 people at this historic Emmanuel AME church in Charleston, Wednesday 6/17. Violence motivated by hatred, intolerance, and racism has no place in our society today. We want to extend our deepest condolences to the families of those who died. So as of yesterday, which was Friday, they had raised nearly $10,000. I have a feeling it's a bit more now.
Yeah.
Their original goal was something like $3,000. And in less than 24 hours, they had managed to raise $10,000.
That's awesome.
That is. We'll put a link on that on all our social media outlets and in our show notes. So that people can, because they're going to keep it running for a while.
That's good.
I don't know when they're going to shut it down, but
right,
should be a while.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
That's right, Yakkers. It's time for the Mr. Potter Award. The rest of the show is dedicated to the Mr. Potter Award and how certain people reacted to this act of terrorism. First, we have all of the folks, well, not all the folks, but most of the folks over at Fox News, and in particular the cast of Fox and Friends, bought on E.W. Jackson to put his two cents on what happened.
Wait for the facts. Don't jump to conclusions. But I have to tell you, I'm deeply concerned that this gunman chose to go into a church, because there does seem to be a rising hostility against Christians across this country because of our biblical views. And I just think it's something that we have to be aware of and not create an atmosphere in which people take out their violent intentions against Christians. And I would mention one other thing very quickly, and that is I would urge pastors and men in these churches to prepare to defend themselves. It's sad, but I think that we've got to arm ourselves, at least have some people in the church who are prepared to defend the church when women and children are attacked.
Okay, I got to say something.
Okay,
so
that's what it's for.
He wants everyone, all the pastors and all that, to basically load up.
Yeah, they want to be packing heat.
And they're going to use the excuse to protect women and children as the reason for carrying.
Right.
So we're going to have a room full of people with guns when you have, say, a shooter who comes in. So we can have the big old shootout at the OK Corral.
Right. So here's my concern. There's a couple things in there that really bother me. First, he's talking about this attack on religion.
Well, that's where I was going first, but then he
just
talked about the other thing.
Just because this kid, I keep calling him a kid, but this guy attacked a church doesn't mean he's attacking religion.
I got news for you. That church did not have anything to do with it. It was because it was a building with full of African Americans, and it was an easy target.
Right. Well, it only had like 11 or 12, right? It wasn't full.
But still, it was a room entirely up.
And he sat there for an hour with them before he opened fire.
Sounds like he was almost afraid.
Right. No, actually, no. I think that was part of his plan.
Oh, okay. Right? Get them comfortable?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. We won't know until everything comes out. That's my opinion.
Your assumption.
Right. But so that's one thing. So this guy's saying that these are attacks on religion. And this is that Christian persecution thing again.
Well, that's actually where I was going with it first, you know, listening to him start talking. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It's, oh, boo-hoo, we're being persecuted again, when he's completely ignoring the racist card, let alone what the guy himself quoted saying.
Right. Well, here's the thing. He even said, well, let's not jump to conclusions. Let's wait until the facts come in. And then he goes right into what we're seeing here is all these attacks on religion.
So he's saying, let's not jump to conclusions, but
I'm going to jump to a conclusion.
Right, exactly. Right. So, and he is saying this.
So, and then we get into that we should arm pastors and we should have armed guards. This kind of goes against what Christ teaches, isn't it?
Oh,
didn't Christ teach peace?
Yes.
That's my understanding of what they're telling me Christ is doing now.
I always saw it as God will provide, but then again, you hear God helps those who help themselves, so you get that end of the argument
well. So by arming the pastors, you're technically going against part of your own doctrine, as I understand it.
Right.
So I don't know for sure, because I'm no biblical scholar.
I don't understand why they think, you know, arm yourself or arm everyone for everything.
Right.
And just, you know, it's basically every scared person carry a gun, because, you know, that's going to make it so much better.
Right. And that's not been proven in the past. Not every
actually
time.
To the contrary, it's been the complete opposite most times.
Right. I mean, there are occasions where an armed person has stopped a thing, right?
Well, and it's different. And if you've had the training too,
right,
that makes a huge difference.
Is he saying that we should have all the pastors and assembly or everybody in there that's got any sort of authority trained on how to use and defend themselves?
I'm not even sure if he's thinking that. I think he's just
give
go
them a gun.
Yeah, go packing.
Go packing. Okay.
I'm not so sure. Yeah, he didn't seem to indicate, you know, training involved with
right,
that scenario.
I get it. But, you know, I don't think
that's
it
not
would,
the answer.
I don't think in this situation that would have made any difference at all because of the way he did it.
Yeah, I mean, the fact he was sitting there for an hour.
No
that
one would
have. No.
And they even, if I read it correctly, they tried to talk him out of it.
Oh, they
so
did?
So there was, yeah, they said, you don't need to do this. Let's talk about this. And he's like, no, you have to go.
So it was before the shooting started that that conversation happened?
Yeah, because he had, if I read it correctly, he pulled the gun and pointed at the oldest person in the room, 83-year-old woman, right? Mm-hmm. If I read this properly. And then he gave his little monologue, hey, you have to go type thing. And they were like, no, you don't have to do this. We can work this out. Whatever the problem is, we'll work it out.
Right.
And he's like, no, you're doing this, that, and the other. And then he went to shoot, and one of the younger members jumped in front of the older lady. He was the first
victim. Yeah.
Right. Defending, I think it was his great aunt or something like that. But that's how that went down. So I don't think anybody having a gun in this situation really would have made a difference. People still would have died.
Yeah. I honestly couldn't imagine being in that situation
in
the first place.
Do?
I mean, especially the guy who's been sitting there for an hour that you wouldn't even in a million years
you
thought that would go
it.
Down.
Right. So, but E.W. Jackson is not the only one with this kind of opinion.
All of, do you feel like it's a hate crime or do you think it's more mentally disturbed?
Probably both. One probably precludes the other. There are real people out there who are organized to kill people in religion and based on race. This guy's just whacked out. But it's 2015. There are people out there looking for Christians to kill them.
And there you go. There's Senator Lindsey Graham, who is running for president.
Now, he said there are Christians.
There are people out there looking to kill Christians.
So they're like on the hunt for Christians.
Yeah, that's my assumption what he said. Now, if you take what he said literally, right, and if you don't take what he says literally and take what he may have meant there are people in like Saudi Arabia or the Middle East looking to kill Christians, which is true.
Right, I could see that, but that's not how I took it, I guess.
In this context, he's talking about Charleston, South Carolina.
Right.
He's talking about this act of terrorism.
Right.
And he's alluding to the idea that there are people out there hunting religious people and Christians to kill them.
He thinks we're in a different country than what we're in, right?
I don't know.
Because I really haven't heard of many people hunting down Christians in this country.
No, it's not a regular occurrence.
No.
Not for being Christians, anyway.
I'm also curious, who does he mean by there are people out there hunting them?
Well, if I understand Senator Lindsey Graham well enough, he's probably talking about either Islamist or atheist.
I was going to say, the atheist baby eaters comes to mind.
Well, yeah,
us horrible people because we don't have a deity. We can't, you know,
and the first thing
answer
we want
to
do,
someone.
It, you know, when we go hunting Christians, we bring out our guns, right?
Yeah,
because all of us own guns, too.
Heck, all you have to do is say the A word and they all run scared.
Right. When I go hunting Christians, I'm bringing my book.
They seem to come to my door, though.
Oh, yeah, they do show up here.
They knock
often.
On the door and say, have you heard the word of God lately?
Yes.
Those are the ones that, you know, are the hunters.
Yeah, they're stalking us. I know they are because they can't miss the bumper stickers, seriously.
Oh, yeah. Our cars are so covered in bumper stickers, but, and yet they come to the door.
Yeah, we're getting off track.
Yes,
there,
we though. Are totally. Sorry.
But, like I said, and Senator Lindsey Graham is not the only presidential candidate that has some weird idea about why this happened.
Pray for our country. I mean, this is you know, one of these situations where you just have to take a step back and say, you know, you talk about the importance of prayer at this time, but you know, we're now seeing assaults on religious liberty that we've never seen before. So it's a time for a real deeper reflection, even beyond this horrible situation.
So, can you guess who that was?
The same guy?
No, that was Senator Rick Santorum.
Oh,
you know, everybody's favorite Catholic. And he was on the Joe Piscopo show on Thursday.
And refresh what he just said.
So he was talking about how there are attacks on religious freedom, and that's he was talking about the attack, right?
Right.
And then he kind of moved into this idea that there's all these attacks on religious freedom in the same conversation.
So again, we're going back to this whole thing is about attacking religion.
Right. Now, in his defense, this was before very much was known.
Right. Right. The very beginning.
And he didn't say this guy did this for religious reasons. He segued that into this idea that religions are under attack. The religious freedom is under attack.
Right.
Right. Now, on Friday, he came out and said that it's clearly driven by racism by saying, at the time, I didn't know it was racially motivated. Nobody did.
Right.
But I have to disagree with him because I knew the second that I saw what was going on.
That's what I took from it.
I saw probably before he did because, you know, I'm up really early and I'm on my internet, right? Really early in the morning. So I get this kind of news and I get it, you know, at 5 in the morning Pacific time. And that he's probably not even moving by then. I mean, he may be Eastern, so it's 8. But still, he's not necessarily getting his news that early. I'm not saying he's not, but...
Right, but they assume just because, you know, it was in a church that it was automatic against Christians. But I have to say, I mean, I don't know myself, maybe you do, but the guy who did the shooting was more than likely a Christian.
I haven't found out yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I was really busy today, so I didn't get a chance to
do it.
He was
a white supremacist, though,
right? He was a white supremacist.
They're usually pretty religious,
very Christian, right?
I mean,
the KKK is very Christian.
Yes, it is.
Some of the organizations that he has been associated with are very Christian.
Exactly.
This is a very Christian point of view.
Right, and in my opinion, this was a very all about racism, period. Right.
And honestly, I tried to look for more instances of people saying stuff like this, but after a little while, I just got disgusted at what was being said. Because it wasn't just politicians saying it, right? I'm out there looking at videos and looking for quotes of what's going on so that, you know, it can fit into this part of the show.
Right.
And frankly, I just couldn't do it anymore. There was so much hatred out there after this.
I hate. That's awful. How they automatically go to that, you know?
Right. I think the comments coming out in the first few hours show exactly why what we're looking at from the Christian perspective is looking at.
Right.
And it says so in their own text that they will be persecuted. And that means that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So they're making this persecution true so that they can feel their book is true.
Right.
I mean, that's the first place they go to, especially with presidential candidates saying that people are looking to kill Christians.
Yeah,
really?
That's crazy.
And this guy expects to win?
Well, that's what my other point was, and he wants us to vote
for him. That's going to come back and bite him so hard.
Yes, it is.
In the primary. Somebody's going to pick that up and say, hey, you said this crazy thing.
Right.
Right?
Although Which they is always why, say stuff.
Well, that's why Lindsey Graham and Rick Santorum will never, ever be president. Ever.
Well,
they're like
stuff
Rick
flies
Perry.
Out of their mouth before they think.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
you know, Rick Perry was known for saying the stupidest thing ever. You know, he couldn't count to three things that were about education. Okay, whatever. So, you know, in truth, there is no Mr. Potter Award for any person this week. We're awarding it to the conservative Christian outrage for something that does not even exist. Another made-up affliction that was prophesied by their holy book. And that's all the yakking we have for you today. Join us again next week as we resume the assault against your eardrums. And if you can't seem to get enough of us, check us out on Twitter and Facebook. If you like what you hear, drop by our Patreon page and help support the show. Then head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and leave us that coveted 5-star review.
Secular Yakking is sponsored by the Humanists of North Puget Sound.
The views expressed are those of the host and not those of HMPS or its board.
All audio for this episode was used under the Creative Commons license.
And remember, the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion.